to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. On today's program, I want to take a look at a subject called incrementalism, and basically incrementalism being something that happens in small little bits, you know, like inch by inch, millimeter by millimeter, and the change that happens is so slow that it's called incremental versus like a drastic change. A drastic change would be, for lack of better illustrations, let's say you have a yellow car and then you wake up in the morning to get your yellow car and it's now a black car, but it's not spray painted black. It's like painted black from the factory. Well, that is not an incremental change. That is like a radical change. So whenever something, an object, a person, a society, a nation, whatever we're talking about, goes through some kind of transformation, some kind of change that is like so fast, so instantaneous versus a slow, uphill, progressive change, the slow, uphill, progressive change we call incremental or an incremental change. Now, I want to challenge you to try an experiment if you can at your convenience, and you can do it as long as you want. But you really need to do it a little bit, and I'll leave that up to you. You need to do it a little bit because what you will notice is that this principle that I'm talking to you about, incrementalism, when it comes to transformation and change, there is no way to illustrate how mind-blowing, how completely radical the changes are over a period of time. Now I know that we haven't gotten into it yet, but we will in a couple of seconds. If the people that you talk to were to do this exercise, which they won't, don't even bother asking them. They won't do the exercise because they're invested in their stagnation. They put all their energy, their psychological being, their financial resources. They've played dice. They bet on one bet, and they have no intention of changing whatsoever. So you're just wasting time because they're invested in it. They've invested their whole life, being the whole thing, the whole deal. They've invested it all in a complete fabrication, a complete illusion, a complete matrix, a complete lie. Okay, but for people that are actually interested in truth, which is a very, very tiny percentage of the population, and once again, with regret, I have to say, even among the so-called Christian population, there's only a tiny percent of those people that have an interest in truth. Okay, so let's take the last 30 years. Now, off the top of my head, I really have no idea when. I can't remember the advent There was the period of time where the black and white television was first invented, and then you could see them sporadically here and there, you know, especially in wealthy institutions, etc. The same thing happened with the color TV. You know, you'd see it here and there. It would be on display somewhere, but you couldn't buy them unless you were, you know, a billionaire or something. But then you began to see first the black and white TVs everywhere, and then you'd see color TVs everywhere. So whenever that time period was, and I should know it off the top of my head, all I can tell you is this: for every child of my generation, You may be older, you may be younger, but for every child in my generation, we grew up, like many other generations, bonding to, glued to characters and TV shows. And they were so real to us. They were like actual friends to us. So they were like larger than life. So a big TV show back then, probably the biggest for a long while, it was on forever, it was called Leave It to Beaver, starring Jerry Mathers. Unless I'm messing up his character with his real name. Anyway, Jerry Mathers played this. He was the Beaver, the nice kid that lived next door. 1950s version. This was a 1950s, basically black and white TV show. And to show you how much things have changed, in all the TV shows, especially the big ones, back then in the 1950s, there would be the parents' bedroom, the kids' bedroom, like two boys might share a bedroom or have separate bedrooms. The parents had their own bedroom. But now think about this for a moment. The FCC made it illegal. The federal government made it illegal for Hollywood to broadcast a TV show in which a legally married husband and wife who were legally married, it would be illegal to show them in one bed together. Now, I'm talking about full-blown pajamas, you know, to the ankle, to the neckline. If they were in their full-blown pajamas, both of them lying on their backs, staring at the wall, no hanky-panky of any kind, even remotely innuendo. It just, they could not be allowed, it couldn't even be seen in camera that they may have slept in one bed. It always had to be two beds, and it was divided by some kind of nightstand and a table lamp, etc. Okay, so that's, just think about the morality of when I grew up, or maybe when you grew up, and then other people grew up at different times. But think of the changes. It's frightening when you think about the changes. Okay, now, how did that change occur? And I want to reintroduce this principle of incrementalism again. Because when you really understand incrementalism, not abstractly, but when you understand what incrementalism is, remember, knowledge is power. When you have no knowledge, you're a fool or an idiot or something of that effect. You say, I'm being unkind. No, I'm not. I'm tired of being kind. I'm tired of communicating to Christians who actually believe it's a virtue to have nothing in their brain. They actually believe, I'm being very sarcastic, that it's a gift of the Holy Spirit to have nothing in your brain. Again, I'm being sarcastic. But if the amount of Christians that I've met, speaking, talking all over the nation and the world, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who have told me, you know, it doesn't matter if what we know, it's great if we don't know anything. Jesus is going to take care of it all in the end. And he's coming, and don't worry about it. As if that was an excuse for not knowing anything about anything. Okay, so anyway, incrementalism explains a lot. So we need to understand the process of incrementalism. When you understand the process, it's not boring. How we're going to get to the process is not boring. If you're having a temptation to go zone out somewhere and do something boring, really, I have nothing to offer you at all, really. I don't. I feel sorry for you. If I knew you by name, I'd pray for you. But you've chosen your path. Don't blame me. So incrementalism. The best way to do it, if you want to fool around and have some time, if you have any technological device whatsoever that records TV programs or records movies, you'll need that. And there's a bunch of them. Many of them are just built into your TV set now, where you can record shows when you're not home or whatever. Okay, so you can start with any show. Just start with any show right now that may still be on. There's not many of them. A popular TV show that's been on the air for 20 years. And you go back and you start to watch that television show that's still on the air today. You go back and watch it, because you can record it all over the place. You can go to Netflix if you want. You can go to Amazon. There's, you know, you can get it free. You can pay for it. It's up to you. So you start to watch those shows. And you will notice, at literally, as the months go by and then as the years go by, every year that goes by, even every so episodes that go by, you will begin to observe very clear changes and transformations in the culture, in what is acceptable behavior, what is not acceptable behavior, what's politically correct, what's not politically correct, what is acceptable in woman's attire or male's attire, what you can say sexually or not say sexually. Because you watch any of these mainstream TV shows, you know, you just watch 15 minutes of one, 10 minutes of one, and then you go through 20 years. That doesn't take long. I'm talking about this takes total of a matter of hours if you do it all at one time. And you will see right before your eyes, you're going to watch your culture, your nation, your society change right in front of your eyes. And it's incremental. It goes inch by inch. It's so subtle that when you're actually in it, and we're in it now, by the way. Now listen, this is critical. Incrementalism is critical to understand. Because right now, as we're talking, this same process of incrementalism, or this inch-by-inch social personal transformation, is happening right now. As we are communicating with one another, it's happening right now at this second. We're all experiencing it. Just like, depending upon your age, you experience going through all those changes. Now, there are certain words I can't use that I could have used 10 years ago. I'm not talking about obscene words. I'm talking about legal words that were not considered an obscenity. I'm no longer allowed to use them. There's a whole list. And so you watch these shows, and what you'll see is the words that the actors speak, the female actresses say, bedroom scenes. Look, I don't go around watching bedroom scenes. That's not the point. The bedroom scene is just a term for the bedroom scene. But the bedroom scene of the days of Leave It to Beaver and Jerry Mathers in the 1950s, where the parents had to sleep in two different beds with a nightstand between them. That was the legally sanctioned bedroom scene. But even then, you know, a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, they don't want to lose their audience, but they'll change what's acceptable. So it would be curious to know, and I don't know off the top of my head. I guarantee you that people watching television did not go to bed one night where the standard bedroom scene ethic was established. A husband and wife had to sleep in two different beds separated by a nightstand and a light or whatever, wearing full covered pajamas. Okay, so I guarantee you the people back then didn't wake up to watch their shows the next day, and all of a sudden, the definition of the bedroom scene changed so radically that you saw the husband and wife in bed and a lot more. I'm talking about now mainstream primetime TV. I'm not even talking about HBO, Showtime, you know, the other channel things you pay for. I'm not even talking about episodic TV. I'm talking about mainstream TV. So radical changes. So the people in that time period did not go to sleep and then wake up and the whole bedroom scene rules and regulations had radically changed. That's not what happened. They broke the ice. They subtly, incrementally changed it. So probably what happened is one of the first things they do is they would show more and more of the husband and wife talking in the proverbial bedroom or the bedroom scene. But now you'd have a lot more close-ups of the husband and wife actually standing closer in the bedroom to one of the beds. Or you'd have a scene of the husband and wife fully clothed type pajama things, or most likely fully clothed, because that would have been too daring to have them both wearing the full-blown pajamas sitting on a bed. So they would have started out with the husband and wife fully clothed sitting on one of the beds. Because what are they doing? They're preparing your subconscious mind to accept it. The name of the game, one of the most important things that I've been trying to teach you, the listener, on the Paul McGuire Report, it is so critical to understand this. What I've tried to teach you, because it's a must for survival, is that the name of the game is there are adversarial forces that are trying to, in an incremental way, prepare your subconscious mind, set up your subconscious mind, work on your subconscious mind, and prepare it to accept new normals. It was very interesting, the word new normal. This whole new normal word is probably the most in-your-face, bold, and out-front example of a hypnotic programming word. New normal reeks. It stinks to high heaven of classical scientific mind control. New normal. Okay, so in the old normal, the parents slept in separate beds wearing full-blown pajamas in the Leave It to Beaver shows. In the new normal, depending upon what channel you're watching, basically anything could potentially go. Anything. Because there's hundreds of channels. So we see that these changes happen incrementally, slowly, bit by bit. And they do it in transitions. They don't break the ice all at once. They don't just in your face, show you the reality. You melt down. So they have to warm you up. You know, they have to break up the hard walls in your mind. They're setting you up. They're preparing you. They're conditioning you to accept their new normal, which is a form of mind control, social engineering, whatever you want to call it. So when you start to see these TV shows in 3-month periods, a year, and then 3 years, and watch the changes, you'll notice any word regarding sexuality, okay, anything that is sexuality, marriage, single sexuality, any kind of sexuality is you watch it increase the amount of sentences, conversations, words that have to do with a vast spectrum of words that deal with many different topics under the general category of sexuality. The content, the sheer numerical amount of those words, let's call them sex-connected words, the amount of those words, the content in any given 30-minute, 60-minute TV show has vastly increased in the amount of times they use it, the amount of different words and words. It's like there are, in any television show, whether it's 30 minutes or an hour, I guarantee you, there is an absolute minimum of 20 sexually communicative, that's not good in English, but I guarantee you that there's at least 20 words that have to do with sexuality or sex. See, no, that's not true. I've counted. If all you're counting is the overt words that an actor and actress may be having, where they deliberately will use like a one-liner that emphasizes one word, and many times that one word has a double meaning, and most people know what the double meaning is. So the actors are talking, and they throw out a word, and they get laughter, at least on the laugh track, they get laughter because it's a double meaning. And that's why there's laughter, because it's in that uncomfortable silence as your mind is flipping back and forth, asking yourself the question, well, what do they mean? The normal, clean meaning, or do they mean, you know, the more, far more suggestive wording? And that's how they push the envelope further and further, by the way. That's how that technique is very powerful in completely changing culture. And introducing, it's most effective, the double meaning of words, it's most effective when you have actors and actresses who function as authority figures. They use those words. And many people in the audience and young children listening may have never heard the words that the actors are using or the expressions. And so there's a lot of people watching who've never heard these words. They don't even know what they mean. So it will come to their attention. The word, they will understand what the word means, and they'll start to think about it. Now, the point is, things that they wouldn't have normally been thinking about to begin with, they're now thinking about incrementally, which is the first step in radical transformation of any human being. It can be used for good or for evil. But the intention here is to use an incremental approach to transform our society. Now, this is the thing that you got to understand. Your children, your grandchildren, everybody you know, you, me, we are all being bathed in an intense atmosphere of incremental transformation right now. Every one of us, we're just being bathed by the internet, media, social media, video, TV, the whole deal. And when you look at these shows, you'll record them or go into Netflix or whatever, you watch the same show, if it's still on the air, you watch the same show today as when it started, and the actors will appear so much more clean cut, so much more modest in their dress. The language will be so much more incredibly cleaner. And just on every measurement method, the level of morality, especially in the area of sexuality and stuff, it will be radically different, which is indicative of the fact that the culture, that America, that the society has changed in a radically different manner incrementally. Now, here's the thing. When you're watching this, when most people watch TV, they go on autopilot. I promise you, it's built in that way. You're not a bad person if this is what happens to you if you turn on the TV. You learned to, what I'm about to share with you now, you learned about as a very, very young child. Whatever age you were when you were first exposed to TV, that's the age where this kind of neurological brain circuit was activated and established in your mind. Okay, so this is a process that you learn to do with your own mind at the very earliest stages of your life. And so this is how it works. It's deep in your subconscious. So when you're a kid, you're either watching a TV show or you're listening to a TV show or whatever, or you're in the next room and TV's playing, whatever. And it depends on your age. Your parents may think, well, my kid's not going to know what they're talking about anyway. That's a bad choice. You're putting it in your kid's subconscious mind. So you're bathing your child with inputs about culture, about relationships, about all kinds of things. It's a massive teaching instrument sociologically. And it's shaping you. It's conditioning you. It's forming you, the way you act, the way you think, the way you believe. And there's all sorts of codes built in to the fabric of the movies and the TVs and the episodic TVs, et cetera, et cetera. All kinds of layered messaging, big time. And so you're being conditioned to accept all kinds of changing societal values, political beliefs, sociological beliefs, psychological beliefs, sexual beliefs, religious beliefs, spiritual beliefs, economic beliefs. And the average person, when they go into the room to watch television or however it works out, they're not even thinking. It's like they're sleepwalking. They're like sleepwalking into the room the TV is on, playing in. At first, they're disoriented, but they know what to do. If it's on, they may adjust the volume. If it's not on, they may turn it on. They may use a remote or whatever. But within seconds, their brain knows how to activate the TV remote or everything's remote, basically. So remote, choose the channel you want, and poof, you're gone. Your mind is inside. Your consciousness is inside that television set. And we've talked about this before, the literal frequency. Remember, everything in this world is a byproduct of EMF, electromagnetic frequency. Albert Einstein, the great physicist, said, everything in the universe and the world is about frequency. It's all frequency, Albert Einstein said, which basically meant is that everything in this world that you and I live in, including a television signal, an apple, your shoes, I don't care, your toothbrush, whatever it is, the reason you can see it, the reason it's in existence is totally to do with an electromagnetic frequency. And every single thing that's a part of your world, your brain, your body, your heart, your mind, the energy that emanates from you. Every single one of us emanates a specific, precise, and different EMF electromagnetic frequency. And they can read that via satellite, drone, any number of electronic surveillance devices, your cell phone. The ways are unlimited in your DNA. So what happens is that just like we all have unique fingerprints, we all have unique biometric, you know, visual eyeball IDs, and we all have a totally unique EMF signal. So if there's 100 of us packed in a room and somebody has a particular software device, they can locate instantly you if they know what your EMF frequency is. And it'll never change. It doesn't get confused with your family members. And people can detect and tap into your electromagnetic frequency at huge distances away. Okay, so it's important to knowledge is power. You see, if you don't know anything about EMF or electromagnetic frequency, you're going to be, or you already are, the victim of EMF frequency. You just don't know it because you're ignorant. You're ignorant to the detrimental health effects of EMF. No, it's not. There's no debate here. It's a scientific fact. If you don't know that, nobody in their right mind is going to waste time arguing with you. Well, why should we argue with you? You don't know what the heck you're talking about. It's a fact. It's not a conspiracy theory. That's like saying, oh, it's a conspiracy theory that every time I turned on a light bulb, it glows at night. Yeah, it glows at night, you idiot. Not because of conspiracy theories. It's because of an inventor named Thomas Alva Edison, who invented a filament in a vacuum tube. And that's what your light bulb is. It's not a conspiracy theory. Okay, so you resonate at a particular electromagnetic frequency. Now, all television broadcasting, oh, by the way, all the wires in your house or wherever you work, office, a factory, I don't know where you work, but in your house, all the electrical cords, all the wires in a house or office or whatever, they run at 60 hertz, okay? Just to give you an idea about what's happening. Okay, so your television broadcasts a signal into you at 10 hertz. So when you're watching the sound, watching the video, listening to the sound, everything that's being broadcast to you is coming into your electromagnetic frequency field. But what's coming out of the television is 10 Hz, 10 Hz. Now, when we analyze what 10 Hz or 10 Hz is, we discover that that is a frequency that puts people in a somewhat hypnotic state, passive compliance state. 10 Hz produces a slight state of euphoria. It functions as a tranquilizer, as a antidepressant. 10HD does all those things. Now, if you were an evil genius, your mind would be spinning already, wouldn't it? Of all the possible weaponization you can do through 10HD television broadcasts. So, here's where knowledge is power, and more knowledge is even more power. So you know 10HZ. That took you like 2 minutes to learn, by the way. And then you need to know I gave you the good effects of 10HZ. But some of the good effects, depending upon application, become evil or negative effects. So 10HZ does a lot of positive things,
But 10HZ has the capacity to do a lot of evil and negative things. So, for example, 10HZ gives you a euphoric, compliant state in which the actual amount of learning that a person receives increases if it's delivered by a 10HZ television signal. So you can learn better, faster, a better memorization. Okay? Now, but here's the negative sign of 10HZ. The same ability of it to make you passive, compliant, euphoric, learn faster, be in a learning mode. When you use that for the reverse, that becomes a mind control device, because what it's doing, and this is a scientific fact, the actual state of consciousness it's putting you into is known as a trance state. 10HZ is a trance state. 10HZ is a hypnotic state. You're being put into a very, very minor state of hypnosis, which can, accelerate your learning ability, but it also prepares your mind psychologically, 10HZ, to be brainwashed, to undergo scientific mind control, to be hypnotized, to be programmed. See, there's a dark side and there's a good side to 10HZ. Now, why are we talking about this? Well, we're talking about this because if you're not aware of electronic technologies that have an inordinate power to control, shape, and manage your mind and control your mind, you're being attacked or potentially attacked, and you have no idea whatsoever what's happening already. So going back to incrementalism, if you were to fast forward or fast reverse search and look at images and sound of TV shows that have been on for like 20 years, you'll watch right before your eyes the most stunning, the most amazing, the most mind-blowing series of images, which just blow up in your face as you see our society change, degrade, deconstruct, transform, all in very negative ways. You see our culture doing a crash landing, and you can see it word for word, and you can see it in the way people think and how they're thinking. As the more years go by that you watch a particular television show, you will notice that the thinking of people radically changes, because that television set or cable or whatever you want to call it, it is a mind control device, and it is a powerful electronic mechanism for psychological transformation. And you'll see it on TV and it'll blow your mind. And there are so many principles that connect with this electronic transformation. There are all these other principles that ride on top of that one. So, for example, the psychological persuasion principle of repetition. The more you repeat something, either visually or a slogan or words, when people hear something over and over and over again, hypnotically it goes into the subconscious and they believe it. No. Has nothing to do with how smart you are. Doesn't have anything to do with how rational you are. You will go the way the rest of the culture goes, because anchored in the depth of your psyche is this psychological principle. And you and your family and your kids, you better know this one, because this is the mother load right here. Perhaps the most foundational and dynamic principle of psychological transformation, which was discovered by two experts in public relations, advertising, and yes, scientific mind control, Walter Lippmann in the 1920s, and in the 1930s, Edward Bernays. By the way, this entire topic I talk about in my brand new book, Power from On High, which you can get and save money now by going to paulmcguire.us. If you order it now, you can save money. It's a pre-order, but you can save money on it now, paulmcguire.us. There's a reason why I write about it in Power from On High. You're controlling people's minds through thousands of little bits of brainwashing. And then the society changes and fashion changes. And what is normal? Here's the big enchilada. Every one of you listening to me talk right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Every single one of you do. Maybe you didn't know what incrementalism is. It doesn't matter. You knew what it meant anyway. You just didn't know what the word meant. But you've been observing the principle. It's been going on around you, and you've been aware of it for years. You didn't need to have me come along and tell you that it means incrementalism. I'm simply bringing it to your attention. I'm functioning as a mirror to go deeper. So here is the critical thing. Critical thing is the primary component in mind control is that no matter how intelligent, sophisticated, what a big IQ somebody has, how gifted they are, or whatever, it doesn't matter. This is a universal. It works the same among everybody. In the inner core of a person's psychological being, every single one of us has an overwhelming desire, an overwhelming subconscious desire, one that we most likely are not even consciously aware of, but it still works anyway. We have an overwhelming subconscious desire to want to be accepted and to believe what the so-called in-group, to believe what the so-called elite, to believe who the society's cultural leaders believe, whatever the top tier of society believes, we subconsciously, we want to believe just like they do because we want to be accepted like they do. Now, you may deviate in how much this controls you, but the hooks are in you. And they've done years of study, and it doesn't matter how smart you are, how analytical you are, you are built and programmed from the beginning to gravitate towards that kind of bonding with people. So you have an overwhelming, desperate desire to think like the in-group thinks, to think like the movers and shakers think. And so whatever they think, that's what you want to think. And so that's why you'll change. You'll do anything, even if it's irrational. You'll do it because that's the way scientific mind control works. They know you're resistant to change. So what they're going to do is they're going to trick your mind into desiring change. Not because you're going to desire change, but because you're desperately desiring the acceptance of the greater society. You want to secretly be accepted by them to believe what the in-group and the top, you know, movers and shakers believe. You want that acceptance. That's got to have it. So that's how this whole thing works. And it is an overwhelmingly powerful control mechanism. You don't have to be an expert in the subject, but you do need to have a minimal amount of knowledge about it. Don't ask me this question, because I'll probably lose it. And the question is this. One would think that with all these Christian colleges, universities, and seminaries, and, you know, institutions to equip Christians to evangelize and to be Christians in the future. One would think that all these institutions would actually have, because of how important this is, that they would actually have classes on what I just discussed. So high school students, grammar school students, colleges, seminaries, universities, on Christian campuses, call it apologetics, call it whatever you want to call it, but you teach everything that I just taught you now, because this is life or death. If your child does not understand how this works, your child, I guarantee you, 100%, will be among the 80% of children, kids, who walk away from their evangelical faith by the time they enter college. I guarantee you 100% your child will be backslidden, along with the other 80% of kids from Christian schools that are backslidden. Why? Because nobody loved them enough, nobody cared for them enough to teach them basic principles of thinking, of self-protection. They're just soft targets, and God hates that, by the way. So, you know, at a certain point, there will be no opportunity for transformation. We have opportunity now. That opportunity will be realized the second you decide to quit sitting in the, you know, bleachers and get out there on the field. And the minute you do that, and the minute everybody else does it, it'll change. You only need a percentage of those people to get up and make the decision to take a stand for the Lord with their lives. You don't have to be a fanatic. You don't have to be a nut. You don't have to be a conspiracy theory. Quit allowing mind control words to define the core of your identity. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.